The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this is so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. And so we come to near the end of another season in our church. We come near the end of the season of Easter. But it's not over yet. We still have 2 weeks. And in these 2 weeks, we should be preparing for a very special feast. The feast of the Pentecost. Can't believe I forgot that one. Been preaching this all weekend. The Feast of Pentecost. 2 Sundays from now, we'll be wearing red. We'll be proclaiming that it's the birthday of the church. And yet, are we prepared for it? I said that Advent last December is a season of preparation for the birth of Christ. That Lent is a season of preparation for the death and resurrection of Christ. And now I'm saying that Easter has been a preparation for our mission in the church. Today's first reading is rather an interesting one. We only get a very short section of Acts of the Apostles here. Chapter 10 is not just what we read here today. And we seem to have left out some very important information. We meet Cornelius. The first thing he does is fall at the feet of Peter. Why? What does this man have to do with anything? Yes, we recognize that Peter, being the first pope of the church, the first leader of the church, the one that Christ gave his keys to, deserves to have this honor. But why Cornelius? Well, Cornelius is a Gentile. What does that mean? He's one of the uncircumcised. He's not a Jew. He's not a Jew that turned and believed in Jesus Christ. And the Jews here that came with Peter are astounded because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. These Gentiles, these ones who never were a part of the chosen people, the Jewish people, now have God's Spirit within them. How could this be possible? Jesus said that he came for all the nations. He fed not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. He fed all people. And yet the apostles seem to have forgotten what he said, seem to have forgotten all that he has done. And so Peter, the one that is the leader, the one filled with the Holy Spirit, was called by God to go and visit Cornelius. As well as Cornelius being visited by an angel, telling him to send for Peter. My brothers and sisters, we have numerous Gentiles in our world today. Some of us might even be Gentiles. What exactly does that mean? We don't fit into what everyone would expect us to be as a Christian. We're more loving, we're more caring. We actually go out of our way for our brothers and sisters. They wouldn't expect the Holy Spirit to fall on us. My friends at school don't always see me as the most pious individual. I'm not on my knees on beds of glass asking for forgiveness for my sins. Yet God is in me. We all have received baptism. The Holy Spirit has come upon us at baptism. He comes again when we receive the Eucharist, and again at confirmation. He is here. The Holy Spirit is among us. And we are to be like Peter and the rest of those Gentiles who, when they received the Spirit, went out and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should do with our every moment of life, with our every breath, which is a gift from God. Even when we don't want that gift, He still gives it to us. So what are we doing with it? And so I say again, this is a wonderful moment of preparation. In these next 2 weeks, we should prepare ourselves for the reception of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Now, why am I preaching about Pentecost when it's so far away, it seems? Today's not Pentecost. Because God doesn't follow rules. He makes His own. And He says that these Gentiles who have received the Spirit before baptism should be baptized. So we need to live as if the Holy Spirit is controlling us today, is living within us today, not just on Pentecost. But this is a wonderful time for us to prepare for the Pentecost feast, for the Holy Spirit to enter us. If we are not ready now for Him to enter, then let us prepare for that, because we should be on fire. I often think about that image of the, not the Catholic monk, but one of the monks that was in the Middle East and set himself physically on fire. We are not setting ourselves physically on fire, but we need to set our souls on fire for Jesus Christ, so that others can come and watch. If we truly were on fire for God, we would be shouting from the mountaintops. We would be showing the world what good news we have. We don't hide that flame. We don't run away from it. It can be terrifying, but we need to be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare for Pentecost? Well, there is, in my opinion, a wonderful prayer that we can say, asking for the Holy Spirit to remind us of the gifts that He has given each and every one of us, to make those gifts alive in our daily life. At the doors of the church, I have a half sheet of paper with this prayer. I encourage you to take that home. Pray with it over the next 2 weeks. Ready yourself so that the Holy Spirit can take hold of you and, like the apostles, drive you out into the world to be that beacon of hope. Yes, we are here in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. What difference could we make? All the difference in the world. And so let us ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us in these next 2 weeks, so that we can truly find Him in our everyday life. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of wisdom, by which I may know how to direct all my actions to God, as to my last end, so that one day I may see Him in heaven. Come, O Holy Spirit, grant me the gift of understanding, by which I may be able to know what is good for my soul, and that You would dwell in me with Your grace. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of counsel, by which I may choose in this life all that is good, and turn away quickly from all that may lead me into sin. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of fortitude, by which I may be able to overcome all the temptations of the devil and be loyal to my faith in all the difficulties of my life. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of knowledge, by which I may be able to know God and his goodness, so as to love him and serve him in all that I do. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of piety, so that I may be more reverent and fervent in my prayers, at Holy Mass, and in the reception of the sacraments of penance and Holy Communion. Come, O Holy Spirit, to grant me the gift of fear of the Lord, by which I may fear to offend you by willful sin, and so endanger my soul to lose your presence in this life and for eternity. O Holy Spirit, make my soul a fit dwelling place for you. Whatever good I have comes from you, who are the giver of all heavenly gifts. Stay with me always, for I desire to be your true child and a faithful servant to the glory of Jesus Christ. Give me the grace to persevere in doing what is right and help me to act at all times with patience and charity. Let the angelic virtues of modesty and purity adorn the temple of my soul as you wish it to be your residence. And as you filled the soul of the Blessed Virgin with immense graces, fill mine also with your love.